Turn your Bibles tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I know what you're thinking already. Wait a second, he's getting started at the time we're usually going home. I'll not be long. But I want to challenge and really just spend a minute encouraging you ladies tonight. I'm really about to open a can of worms, but don't worry, I'm not going to keep the lid off for very long. I've spoken to several women through the years about this very sensitive subject in the Christian world at large. And it's simply this question: should women, mothers specifically, work outside of the home? Before we really even tackle that, I want to read my text for the evening. It's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. Before we read that, I want to lay a little bit of context. You understand, of course, that Paul is writing to a young man in the faith who's becoming a pastor, and he is writing specifically about widows in this passage. However, I want you to understand that the truth is applicable not only to widows, but I believe to all married women. And let's read what he and see what he had to say. I therefore, that younger women, that women could mean widow as well, because that's who he's talking about. But he said, I would that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, I know standing here with the view that I'm going to take, and the only reason I take it is because the Bible takes it. And I want to let you know this evening that I want to be just as narrow-minded as God is. Not any more, but not any less. And so I think about the war that is raging in our society today. It's not just a war of materialism. It's not just a war of self-actualization. It's not a war of independence or feminism. It is a spiritual war between God's design for the family and what Satan would like to do to corrupt our families in this country today. And so, I don't say at the risk of sounding old-fashioned, because I'll tell you this, God is old-fashioned. Do you ever wonder why there's a mooring that we are pulling away from? It's because God had given the anchor long ago. And so as we look at His Word, just for a brief moment tonight, I want to encourage those of you that have decided and made a conscious decision to stay home and raise your children, and to challenge those of you that might think, you know, if I had a job somewhere, it'd be better for my family. You see, the argument today is this: if you have a mother that is at home but she's miserable, that is worse for the kids than if she were out working and putting them in someone else's care. I can't tell you. I looked at several different websites that were pro-mothers working. And let me tell you, they're by the millions out there. But one common thread that I kept seeing time and time and time again was that a miserable mother is worse than someone else taking care of the children. I don't know if that's true or not, to be honest with you. But here's what I know. If you can identify God's purpose and design in your life, you will not be miserable. You see, if you can find satisfaction in God's design for your life, you won't be miserable. I promise that'll be the most rewarding and fulfilling thing in this world. You know, I remember going through Bible college and somebody was speaking on missions, and they said, listen, if God's called you to that back hut in Africa, you won't be happy anywhere but that place. And if God's called you to be a mother, you won't be happy anywhere other than raising your children. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 words it just a little differently, but gives the same idea. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen, if you're in a situation like I was growing up, where a mother had no husband around, had a children to raise, I understand there's times where you have to go out into the work world. But I'll tell you, it creates an imbalance in the family, a void. And I'm speaking from experience here. I was grateful to have my grandparents living on the same property, but even just a few hundred or about 100 yards away is not the same as having a father in the home. Proverbs 14:1 reminds us that every wise woman buildeth her house. That speaks of an investment, a life investment. But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. One study I read said the evidence is already quite strong that staying at home during a child's first year of life can have long-term benefits. Even in secular science, that is an established fact today. That's why most industrialized nations, although not the United States, guarantee at least some paid parental leave for working mothers. But a new study drawing on extensive data from Norway found potentially dramatic benefits for older children as well, when their parents had more opportunity to stay home. Indeed, the benefits may be even greater for children in the United States than they were for the children in Norway. Said other things being equal, the results from the Norway suggest that it is hard to substitute the care and attention of a parent, specifically a mother, in the home. God gives us in this passage of Scripture, I believe, the design for not only the wife, but really a family. You see, who are the younger women going to marry? How are they going to bear children? You see, we lived in such a confused society today that somebody would look at that and they would think, in this modern era in which we live, not only is that archaic, it's nearly impossible, because if you have same-sex unions or marriages, if you want to call them that, if you have something that is so far out of God's design that it's impossible to even bear children in a marriage now, how can it be that how can you think and be so so chauvinistic to believe that a woman should stay at home? That's easy for you as a man to say, listen, I didn't always hold those views. And if you're careful to read your Bible and allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in your heart, you'll change some of your views as well. Really, tonight I wanted to encourage those of you that have made that decision. I'm certainly not here to beat anybody over the head. But a decision to stay at home is a decision to have less material things. It's a decision that says, I'm going to invest my life in my family. And I don't know how many times throughout the years my wife, like many of you, have been somewhere and women are talking and they say inevitably, well, what do? I had a great definition. I can't find it now. It was about a paragraph long of what one woman in the ministry would say to someone else when they asked that question. But it really, all it boiled down to was, I'm a mother and a wife, not necessarily in that order. And I'll tell you, I don't believe there's any higher calling. I'm going to really just close with a very extended, I've never done this before. It's an article by a man by the name of Stephen Nelms. And it's about 2 pages long. And I've already edited it down, so it's not longer than that. But I think that it puts a little perspective on women staying at home. He says, I've been thinking that I can't afford for my wife to be a stay-at-home mom. I can't afford it. I'd like to explain exactly what I mean by that so that no one thinks I'm in any way devaluing stay-at-home moms. On the contrary, I mean that I quite literally cannot afford my wife to be staying at home. Here's why. My wife stays home and takes care of our son every single day. She changes his diapers, she feeds him, plays with him, puts him down for his nap, and comforts him when he's upset. And that's just the bare minimum. A child can typically get that attention at a daycare, but on top of that, he is her only focus. There's no other children to tend to. He gets all of her. All of her love, all of her time, all of her energy. She's always there, always near, always listening. Obviously, this is part of being a parent. You take care of your child and you raise your child. But let's face it, in our day and age, every service, and I mean every service, is hireable. There's a company ready and willing to do just about anything. So while, yes, my wife is my son's mother, and it's a natural result of being a parent to love and care for your own child, there is also a very quantifiable dollar amount that can be attributed to the services rendered. And he goes on to say, I'm in no way trying to simplify, objectify, or devalue the priceless love of a mother for her child, but let's be real, payday feels good for a reason, because you're seeing your hard work appreciated in a tangible way that lets you treat yourself in a sense. And that's exactly why he says, I cannot afford my wife being a stay-at-home mom. The national average weekly salary for a full-time nanny is about $705. That's $36,660 a year. A regular cleaning service costs anywhere between $50 to $100 per visit, depending on how big your space is, how deep of a cleaning you want, and especially whether or not you have pets that shed like crazy. He said, I'm convinced our dog is short-haired because he sheds every inch of it every minute of the day. It never even has a chance to grow. We also have a toddler, so those of you that are unfamiliar, that means a tissue box left unattended for approximately 18 seconds is completely emptied with its contents strewn across the apartment. Same with the wipes. Toys rapidly find their way from his bedroom to the living room, and remotes go missing. The dog's water bowl sometimes gets spilled, and books will occasionally fly off their shelves. So on and so on, he says. Picking up the apartment is part and parcel with keeping the place presentable, not to mention the natural progression of dirty dishes, dusting, vacuuming, etc., etc. So assuming you want the place to stay relatively clean, especially whenever you have people over, you're looking at probably at least $100 a week at the bare minimum to stay presentable. That adds up to a whopping $5,200, again, excluding the extra deep cleaning or quick pickup for hosting company. He asked this question, does your wife ever run errands for you, buy the groceries, get you a new pack of white undershirts? Personal shoppers, on average, run around $65 an hour. That's excluding the couple $1,000 membership fee required to utilize their services. Average the amount of time spent at the grocery stores or department stores per week at 4 hours, and you're looking at around $260, and that's an extremely, he says, conservative average. Now, I want you to know, he says at the end of this article, these are literal prices that he's researched. That equals out, by the way, to $13,520 a year. Does your wife ever cook dinner? Hopefully more than just a microwave box. What about prepare lunch? Prepare lunch beforehand before you go to work. A personal chef preparing two servings of five meals can run from $400 and up. So, assuming your stay-at-home wife prepares even a few meals a week, you're looking at around $240 at least. That's a minimum again. That's $12,480 a year, and that's excluding any hosting, any extra mouths to feed, or extra meals to cook, or extra sides and entrees for potlucks and holidays. So far, we're looking at a grand total of $67,860. And remember, we are working with extremely conservative averages here. That's daily care for your child that the average full-time nanny would provide. That's twice a week cleaning for your home by a maid service that gets the place presentable. That's three meals prepared a week of only two servings. And these numbers, for the most part, still fall embarrassingly short of all the things that she is actually accomplishing throughout the day every week. And that's only taking into account three services. If your wife takes care of your budgeting, finances, or paying the bills, then add $15 an hour for the average rate of financial assistance. If you're in the corporate world and your wife plays any kind of role in professional interactions at business dinners, then add another $75 an hour for the average rate of a PR assistant. And he says, if you think that, or if you don't think that your wife's demeanor or social interactions affect your image and influence their workplace, then he says you're just a flat-out ignoramus. If your wife does the majority of the laundry, then you'll need to add at least a fee of $25 a week for the bare minimum washer, dryer, personal service. So if you average 5 hours a week on financial services, 4 hours per business dinner, about 3 a year, and a weekly laundry service, add that onto our very conservative estimates for child care, house cleaning, and shopping, it's an annual salary of $73,000 or $73,960. I still said that wrong. $73,960. And that's looking objectively at an almost insultingly conservative average of the services rendered. He says, I simply can't afford my wife. He does go on to say, let's remember, there's no sick leave with child care. There's no paid time off. There's no 401k. All the incentives that someone who makes over $70,000 a year would normally enjoy are not part of this deal. All the worker appreciations, merit bonuses, and recognition that comes with being part of an office is out the door as well. He says, in short, I can't afford my wife to stay at home, and I've tragically failed to show my wife the appreciation that she deserves. She loves me, loves our son, and loves our family, so obviously she isn't doing any of those things for a paycheck or even for recognition. He does say, my wife sometimes feels patronized when I ask her permission to buy something for myself. She feels like it's my money and my name on the paycheck, so I shouldn't have to ask permission to get myself something every once in a while. The truth is, I'm ashamed of any time I've ever made her feel guilty when she's purchased something for herself. I'm ashamed that she has ever felt like she doesn't have just as much right to our income as I do. I think the idea behind that is not only do we rarely see what our wives are worth, how that they mother our children, how they devote their lives selflessly, sacrificially, sympathetically to the needs and the wants of our family. I think it should help us not to take them for granted. Praise God for mothers who devote themselves to their family. Listen, if you are married to a mother, remind her of how much you appreciate her, not just today, but on a continual basis. Help her to feel as appreciated at her job as you would want to feel at yours. I think we've had a good night tonight. Love the singing, the testimonies, but I'm glad God gives us His design and how we can be successful in this thing called family. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. And Lord, how you work in our hearts. Lord, you give us priorities. Those things that are important to you ought to be important to us. And so as we invest and pour our lives into our children, as our wives are at home, laboring day in and day out with those little kids, Father, will you bless them in their effort? Will you give them the tenacity and the strength and the energy to be able to do what you've called them to do? And Father, I pray as men, we would never be guilty of diminishing that sacred role you've called them to, called motherhood. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.